zchus to always be together, to prepare for Shabbos Kodesh, to learn Torah together, to grow together. Such a beautiful thing to have kvius, to be a kveit and a Torah, at times out of one's normal kvius in a certain sense. Especially, I think it's a chizik to see, you know, we're back like any other Thursday night. You know, a lot went on this week in the world of politics, and people were very scared, and a lot of change. We're all good. We're all good. We have Torah, we have Hashem who runs the world. You'll see, it's all going to be good. We're back together. Where we should be on Erev Shabbos Kodesh, learning Torah together, preparing for the Hilgi Shabbos Kodesh. Before we begin, Chavra, all the Torah tonight, I want to just mention, and we'll talk more about it in this year, as we'll see, but all the Torah tonight is being sponsored by Mishpacha, I feel very, very close to, by Ben and Yael Englander. Lil Nishmas, Ben's father, who's a tzaddik, who's a kodesh, Avram Sholom ben Yisrael HaKayin. Avram Sholom ben Yisrael HaKayin, whose yahrzeit was this past Tuesday. So we're still, as we've mentioned here many times over the years, you know, yahrzeit, not to get into all the depths of it, but Kabbalistically, it's an entire week. And the yahrzeit is the middle of that week. And when the neshama is more deeply connected back to the world on some level, and you can connect to that neshama, and through the ma'isim that we do, through the Kaddish, and through Torah that we're learning, as we're going to be learning tonight, give chusim for that neshama to continue to rise in Shemayim. And we're still now within the 3 days after the yahrzeit, so it should be a big schus for Avram Sholom ben Yisrael HaKayin, a tzaddik, a kaddishtik yid, a survivor of the Holocaust, who rebuilt a family whose mamish shomer Torah mitzvahs and changing the world. You know, the Englanders mamish, you know, their children are so special to me. Zachary Kalman, Yosef Avinoam, Aiden, and a big mazel tov as well. Kira became a kala, I believe today. The daughter Kira became a kala in Eretz Yisrael, mamish overlooking Kodesh Hakodashim. And even Josh has been in this house many times for Shal Shudis and different inyanim. And therefore, it's a very special schus, and we'll learn more about this tzaddik that we're learning in his schus tonight a little bit later. But Mirza Hashem bizchus for his neshama. He should have the Eloi neshama, and he should be a Melech Yosha for his beautiful mishpacha until there's Zoicha to be tanting together with the Mashiach Sakeinu b'mehera b'yameinu. My Halakha Talmid Ari Mirzov, he sent me a beautiful Torah. He actually sent it at the end of last week, if I'm not mistaken. Maybe it was on Rosh Chodesh or the next day. And I told him, please remind me, I want to say this over, start Shir tonight with this Torah, because I haven't, I'm mamish just living this Torah. And Kachavi, he reminded me. And then to see Yeshua walk in holding his Shvila Pinchas on Purim, you know, we're only towards the beginning of Shvat, but we're looking forward. We're looking forward to the Hail Yontif. And just a little bit of Chizik before we begin, because these days we all need Chizik. Even those of us that are not feeling it in ways that others are. But the world needs chizik. We need constant chizik. I find myself giving people calling just for chizik, like in ways even without major issues. Just need chizik to be besimcha. Mishenichnas Adar Marbin besimcha. So when we are going to enter into Adar Marbin, we're not there yet. We're only in Shvat, but Mishenichnas Adar Marbin besimcha. So the Minchas Elazar, the Munkacher, he said that the Talmidim of the Chayze, he asked the Chayze once, it says, Mishenichnas Adam Marbin B'Simcha. What does it mean, Marbin B'Simcha? Increase the Simcha. That means you had Simcha already. Why? It should be Mishenichnas Adar, we start being B'Simcha. Which Mishenichnas Adar, bring upon Simcha. What do you mean, Marbin B'Simcha? Increase the Simcha. Where was the beginning point? Now, first of all, I just read this question. The Kutzker is just flying through my heart. I have to just give over, which I'm sure everybody here knows the Kutzker. You just might not have known it was the Kutzker. But it might be the most important Torah that Yid could ever learn. Because the Kutzker answers that differently than when we're about to. The Kutzker says, that Gemara in Tainus Daf Chav Tes, it says, Mishenichnas Adam Arbim Simcha, but it says, K'shem Shemichnas Adam Arbim Simcha, Chach Mishenichnas Av B'Matim Simcha. or one, I forget which one's first, but the contrast of his first, right? That's what I thought also. So just like in Av, we diminish our Simcha. When we enter Dav, we diminish Av is the Chorban Beis HaMikdash, is 9 days, Be'elim Mitzarim. In Adar, we increase our Simcha. The Kotzker says, we learn from here, that a Yid has to always be B'Simcha. A Jew has to always be B'Simcha. Meaning what it says in Av, the most difficult of months, Chorban Beis HaMikdash, it doesn't say, obliterate, get rid of our Simcha completely. It says, Mamayit. What's Mamayit mean? Diminish, lower. It means we still, even on Tisha B'Av, I have some. I'm just Mamayit. In an Adar, it says to increase. If it, you increase, so it picks up on the same question, right? It means you must have had it before. So the Kotzker says, from here, from this Gemara, because a Yid has to always be B'Simcha. That's what we could learn. We could extrapolate from these two, this contrast from Adar and Av, that a Jew should always be B'Simcha. There are times when we increase our Simcha. Halavai b'chasna, the English is celebrating an engagement. We increase our Simcha. There are times when we have to decrease our Simcha. Lo aleinu, there was a terrible tragedy in our community. Today, Yodi Dukes, unfortunately, was Nifter. Many of us have been davening for every day for a very long time. My heart breaks for this mishpacha, this beautiful mishpacha. So we're mamayit our Simcha. There are times when we mamayit our Simcha. But we're always b'Simcha. Before Adar, I had Simcha. And after Adar, I continued to have Simcha. And Av, I diminish, but only diminish. A Yid should always be B'Simcha. And Simcha doesn't mean I'm dancing and jumping. That's also good. But it means I'm content. And because when I know the Ribbono Shel Olam runs the Welt, I know Hashem's orchestrating the world, I'm always okay. I'm never depressed. I understand. And I can handle whatever's going on in my life. And therefore, a Yid should always be B'Simcha. So that's the answer I thought to answer this question. And I could say Eluvelu because that's from the Kotzker, it's not Arya Cohen, so I could say something because the Chayza says differently, but the Kotzker and the Chayza are both good people. We'll take both. But listen to what the Chayza says, a little chizik for each and every one on this question, why does it say Marbim B'Simcha? So it says it was a Yid. It was a Helig Yid, one of the Avos, Yitzchak Avinu. And it's true, we don't know much about Yitzchak Avinu. But his name says enough for us. You know, the name Yitzchak is tzachoik, is to laugh. Yitzchak represents a certain sense of simcha then. It's a very special simcha, because simcha, Yitzchak is also Yerushalayim. Yitzchak is also a sense of gvurim. Yitzchak is this closed character that's kulo, like kadosh l'Hashem, a korban. But that's ultimately simcha. It's like Rav Motel said in Perm Katan, right? You know the greatest simcha? Yerush Hashem is the greatest simcha. Because it is. When I'm doing what I'm supposed to be doing, I'm living up to my life, it's the greatest simcha. I'm content. I'm emes. So when we live a life of contradiction, we live a life where I'm being pulled according to my body and giving into my temptations and living a life for the outside world and for others and for culture, it's like that I'm never besimcha. I might have momentary pleasures, but I'm not actually besimcha. So Yitzchak was besimcha. Yitzchak is tzuchoik. So Pazik says in Parshat Chayisar, Pasuk Chav Dalet, Pazik Samach Beis, V'Yitzchak ba... Where does that happiness ball? Where does it come from? Mibo bear. Comes from bear. What is it from bear? So he says, we have at the beginning of Devarim. In the beginning of Devarim, Moshe Rabbeinu is giving over the Torah. And when's he giving over the Torah? The Pazik says in Pazik Gimel, Vahi ba'arbim shana ba'ashteyas or chodesh, the 11th month, ba'echad l'chodesh. What's the 11th month, the first day of the month? Rosh Chodesh Shvat. And what's it say, Rosh Chodesh Shvat? Be'evar yard be'eretz Moav, Hoel Moshe be'er es haTorah. Be'er es haTorah, it's explaining the Torah. When on Rosh Chodesh Shvat is be'er. So what did the Pazuk say? V'yitzchak bo. You know when tzchoik comes, you know when happiness comes. Be'er. And when's be'er? When's be'er, the Chodesh say? Rosh Chodesh Shvat. Because that's when the Torah is being given over. So the Chayza said to the Talmidim, we see from here, you know what it means, Mishnech Tzad Marbim Simcha, you increase your Simcha Adar? Because it started already Rosh Chodesh Shvat, and then it increases more Adar. So hopefully each and every one of us, already now, we're in Shvat. And that tells us we should already prepare and get ready in increasing our Simcha until that big day of Simcha, of Adar, of Purim Bez Hashem, which Purim we know is only a Kati Avdei HaChashir Shanan, it was only a partial Gula, and this year hopefully it's going to bring us the ultimate Gula, with the ultimate simcha of Bias Mashiach with Herab Yemeinu. So, Chevra, with that intro, we're ready to learn Torah. We're open up our hearts to Simcha, Pekudei Hashem, Mishara, Misam, Chelev. There's no greater Simcha than learning Torah. Now we're ready to add on to our Simcha through learning. We have to discuss, you know, these parshas, as we've said many times, these parshas is one long storyline of Galus and Geula. And last week we spoke at length about the Makos, and specifically Barad, but we spoke about how the Makos are this tremendous builder of Emuna within our lives, within every Yid's life. The Makos were there to not just punish the Mitrim, but were to show the Yidin Yad Hashem time and time again, so that they're working themselves, mikadis themselves, and become right to receive the Torah eventually. And our job as well is to analyze and learn these Makos the same way. It's to be uplifted and realize this happened. This was real. This was emes. We might not see with our eyes Gilui Shechina in such a way, even though we do. We just have to open our eyes a little wider. It's Gilui Shechina when we wake up every morning. It's Nisim Gluyim that I could see, that I could hear, that I could speak. That's Nisim. That's revealed miracles. We just get used to them, so we don't call them revealed miracles. That itself is a problem. Can't take it for granted. We have to appreciate the revealed miracles of our life. The incredible revealed miracles. I was thinking today, I mean, it was so heartbroken when I heard about the news of Yuri. Yuri's a friend of my father's. He lives right by my father. It was a crazy thing. We have off now. And every year for the past 20 years, I've been in Eretz Yisrael now. This week. Oh. I don't even know what to do with my time. I woke up this morning. I don't know what I'm supposed to be doing. I don't know, like, so I woke up, I went to Dab, went to the mikveh. Now what? What do I do in Chutz Laaretz this week? I don't even know what it is to be in Chutz Laaretz this week. So I got in my car and drove to the oil so I could be Bechinas Eretz Yisrael. Where else is there to be? I'm supposed to be in Eretz Yisrael, so I got to go to Kivrei Tzaddikim. Chazal tell us is Bechinas Eretz Yisrael. So I went to sit at the oil, and the oil was jam-packed. It was beautiful. It was mamish incredible because it's Rav Yosef Yitzchak, because for Yitzchak Rebbe is Yartzeit of Shabbos Kodesh, so it's 3 days before already. Hundreds of children, and it was so beautiful. And I was sitting and learning by the oil, and I learned till Mincha Dav. Mincha there, it was awesome. We've all been there, we all know what it is. I hope we go often, and you feel Eretz Yisrael. Right, Yonason, you felt Eretz Yisrael? Tell me, Emes, Yonason. Forget it, we'll talk later. Anyways, Lameisa, I'm sitting there, and this guy, as I'm sitting and learning, I find a makom, because it's packed, a good makom to learn. You have to find a nice makom to learn, you know. And the Chabadnik sits down next to me. I never saw him before, not from here. And he looks at me and he says, "He says, what are you learning? What are you learning?" You're learning Makos, nice. And he goes back and then he turns to me and says, "You know, we just got terrible news." And he told me that Yodi was Nifter. It was such a moment of, you know, like the Tanya talks about Al Avavchem, that you live with two hearts. And you have that heart where you're full of joy and simcha and closeness to Hashem, and that heart that's full of the devastation of the tsaros of Kal Yisrael. And there I was, like, I finally, like, felt for this week, I've been crying all week not being in Eretz Yisrael. And then I finally felt at home because I'm sitting in Bechinas Eretz Yisrael and just learning, and it was good. And then that happened. It was like, gosh, I'm like pulled. It's hard. Anyways, Lameisa, but we have to, so when I heard about this, I was thinking also, just thinking very pashut. 39 years old, 6 children. I mean, he did tremendous things in this world. He changed the world. He ran, I think it's called JNet, an organization in Chabad that hooks up chavrusas with from people, with non-from people, you know, incredible things. And he was doing it from his hospital bed. He's a yid like we can't understand. But it made me to really, honestly, the one thing I was thinking about afterwards, give myself some, was just appreciating just chias, appreciating the nais, the miracle of life. And the ability that I have to hug my children tonight, and the ability I had to sit and learn and to daven, and that we could be together and learn Torah, this is a nais, Galway. This is a revealed miracle. It's awesome. But at the same time, sometimes it's hard to see. But we learn through these parshios, and we again see the Nisim Gluyim that occurred then, and we have to believe that those were not just then, those are real, and those were Yad Hashem, and they are Yad Hashem, and we are Mechazik Armuna through them. We grow through them. So we have to understand all these makos were there for us to grow. The question is as follows. So why was the final one makos b'choros? Meaning if all these makos are there for us to grow and build a closer kesher with Hashem, and what was makos b'choros, the culmination? Makos b'choros clearly was like the last pinnacle that needed to be done before we're ready to leave Mitzrayim. Right? All these 10 steps were important. Again, to punish the Mitzrayim, but simultaneously to help us be Mitarim Mezakech us till we're ready to leave Mitzrayim. Why makos b'choros? Now, we do know makos b'choros was the chod of Atzmo, was Hashem himself coming. And you could talk about how it shows Hashem's place in this world more than anything else because it's his role of defining life and death, which is what existence is. But can we learn even deeper, something very deep? So, Chevra, this past week I pulled, I don't learn it too often. It's been a long time. Maybe but I learned through a bunch of the pieces. Mamish was dancing. So I pulled out, I don't even remember why I pulled it out, but I pulled out my Likutei Halachos to learn, to see what Rav Nosson has to say. Right, we know Likutei Halachos is Rav Nosson gave over a lot of Rav Nachman's Torah. Likutei Halachos is his Torah, obviously gleaned from Rav Nachman, but it's his ideas and his Torah that he wrote. He wrote it on the Halacha Shulchan Aruch, but it's been compiled according to the Parashos, how it connects as well. And he says something so incredible. And I haven't stopped thinking about it all week. He says that what the Bechor was, what the Bechor represents, what is the death of the Bechor, what was that? What is the Bechor, what did the Bechor represent? So he quotes a pasuk in Mishlei. Now he actually takes it a little bit out of context, but the pasuk in Mishlei in Perek Aleph, pasuk Zayin says, Reishis Das. The first, the beginning, the Bechor is Reishis, the beginning is Das. Intellect, knowledge, understanding. Truth is, the pasuk itself says Yiras Hashem Reishis Das, being in awe of Hashem at the beginning, which is similar to another pasuk we know, Reishis Chachma Yiras Hashem, that we say every single day. It's the same concept, same idea. But Rav Nosson, he takes it in a vacuum and says Reishis Das. Reishis Das. And the truth is, we know Reishis is Das. Meaning the beginning of everything is Das. If you understand Kabbalistically everything in this world, so we have the Zion Sviros, right, you have the Zion spheres, which basically, we're not going to get into the depth of this right now, maybe for another time, but rule over the world in a certain sense and orchestrate everything going on in the world. But the beginning of all that is what? Is Chachma bin Adas. Or Kesav bin Adas, depending on it. But Chachma bin Adas, what's called? Chabad, right? Chachma bin Adas. Chachma bin Adas means, so that intellect, the Chachma is the beginning of everything. That's Reishis, that's Bechor. What was the Das of the Mitzrim? What was the Das of the Mitzrim? What was their Das? You know what their Das was? I run the world. Their Das, what was Paro? Paro was their leader. Paro didn't believe in God. Paro believed he was God. Paro believed he was God. In other words, what does it mean he believed he was God? He believed he knows everything, and he's in command of everything, and he's deciding everything. And my intellect is my subjective reality of this world. Whatever I think is right, whatever I think is good, whatever I think I should be doing. Which we all know is clearly influenced by our emotions, and influenced by our temptations, and influenced by our culture, and influenced by so much, and completely subjective reality. But that's my das. That was the Das of the Mitzrim. It was a world full of Zima, full of promiscuous activity, full of disgustingness. But that was their Das. That's what they thought was appropriate. We see that. We see that in the world we live in. Look what looks at in American culture. We're walking like the Egyptians again. In American culture, what is Das? What is appropriate? Well, no one here should, but if you look into the entertainment world, what goes on any show or any movie or on the internet, or is that's what the Das is, that's what they think is normal society, right? Which is what? Disgustingness. A lack of appreciation of self, a lack of appreciation of a family, a lack of appreciation of the sanctity between a husband and a wife, a lack of appreciation of modesty. But that's all their Das, because ultimately, but you can't blame one who's not subservient to any greater Das. It's my Das. I am God. My das is whatever I want it to be. It's all subjective reality. That's what their das is. That's what the das of the Egyptians was, and that's what the das of American culture is, and that's why it's very scary and so sad that those who are influenced by this world. You know what the final makah, Rav Nosson says, is? Makas b'chayris. You know what makas b'chayris means? Kill the firstborn. It wasn't the physical killing the firstborn. Shkoyach. So one individual in every household died. Again, it shows the hand of God, and it shows God is in control of life and death. But it was much grander than that. That final step in Yetzias Mitzrayim, in a certain sense, of preparing the Yidden to get out of the culture of Egypt, was not just physically that they should get out of that culture, but emotionally and in internalize the values of what Yiddishkeit is and get rid of Bechoris. What is Bechoris? Racious Das. Get rid of that Das. Destroy. That was what that meant in its depth. Get rid of that mindset. And grab onto the mindset to understand Chachma Bina Das of a Yid. Grab onto the mindset through that Makas Bechoros, we're built into what? B'ni Bechori Yisrael. We're built into B'ni Bechori Yisrael. V'amarta al paro b'ashmos ko amar Hashem B'ni Bechori Yisrael. The real Bechori Yisrael. What is that? What is that real Bechori Yisrael? It's an understanding that we have Das Elyon. An understanding that our das is subservient to the das of Hashem. That we understand that He knows better than I. And that's why our biggest avodah is to study Torah. V'giso bo yom v'layla. So that we can connect to the higher das. The higher chachma bina das. The knowledge of God. The objective truth in this world that we have. Because we have Torah. We wouldn't have it naturally on our own either. By the way. We need, and Hashem has given us, Baruch Hashem, Torah, to be able to guide us, to be able to be that light against this das of the world, and be able to teach us right from wrong. What a schus it is. And that's why it is, the people, why are we here right now? Why are we here at 11:30 at night on a Thursday night, sitting and learning Torah together? Why are we here? You ever said, why are we doing this? Other people are doing such a thing. In the other, even in the other Umas Olam, that they study whatever books they study. You think they're together at 11:30 at night, studying this after a long day, after with so much else they could be doing? Because we understand this is everything. Meaning without this, I don't have Das. I don't even know what Das is. This is giving me my whole entire ability to think, my ability to live, my ability to understand this world, to understand my place in this world, which is what? All based on the wisdom of God, the objective truth, the one who created it all, the one who put us here, the one who created each and every one of us. I can learn from him. Torah. B'ni b'chayr Yisrael. That's the true, by makas b'choros of das, racious das, of the goyim, of the umas oilim, of the mitrim. B'ni b'chayr Yisrael. Listen to what I want to say that does. You know what that makes us? It puts us lama. This is why it is, and we're gonna chazer a Torah that we've said over here before, but connect the mamsh in a way. So I saw this. You ready, chazer? When you have that, you're out of the world. Meaning, it puts you to have the proper mindset in the world and understand how to live our lives and how to orchestrate our lives according to the das of their bonus home, and it guides us and tells us how I should be living, what I should be doing, and even all the gray areas of life. It gives me a proper derech, a proper ashkafa, a proper way of life, which ultimately will be the most joyous because we know God knows better than us what's best for us. But it also allows me to live above this world. Allows me to be above the nature of this world. Allows me to be okay and live besimcha over these past 9-10 months, as the world is confused and full of sadness and depression, and many don't even know how they're going to get out of this mess, even when it's physically over, because they're so traumatized by it. But those who have Das Elyon, Hashem orchestrates the world. We've been through times before. There's a time of Einish going on. I could deal with it. I'm still living my life. I'm davening. I'm learning. I'm being with my family. I'm doing everything I can do. It's all good. I mean, it's not all good. When I say, again, we're sad about, and we're allowed to be mamayi to simcha, as we spoke about, when lo aleinu, there's a death, and lo aleinu, someone's in the hospital, lo aleinu, someone's suffering financially, we're mamayi to simcha, but we're still besimcha. That's das elyon. And I'm living then, lamala min hatev, I'm living out of this world. I'm living a supernatural dika life. And nothing could bring me down. And that's why, yes, it was terrible, and a horrible, heartbreaking loss today, with the p'tira of Yuri. But that family, you know how they davened, and you know the hope they had, and you know, daily, even when the doctors and everybody were saying it was impossible. No, but it's not impossible. We're Yidden. We live l'malam and ateva, above this world, because we're above the das of this world. So in a chanami, we have to go and do our shtadlus in the world of the roifim, in the world of medicine, of course. That's our obligation, that's what we have to live. But at the same time, in the end of the day, as Rav C. Meyer once told me, they know nothing. Rav C. Meyer once said, they know nothing. You're with me this time, remember? The doctors know nothing. What did he mean? He didn't mean don't go to a doctor. He didn't mean don't trust a doctor to the best of your ability. You have to put in your shtadlus. We have to do that. But he meant at the end of the day, if the doctor has no rishus to say there's no hope. A doctor has no rishus to say that it's for sure not going to be good. There's no way that a doctor, look at the Pathirish Halacha, the Gemara, they have rishus to heal. They don't have rishus to say I can't heal. Meaning, they could say, I don't know what to do, because I'm immortal and I'm finite, and I don't know what to do. I don't know. The same way you don't know what to do. I don't know what to do. But this is no hope. Usher, for any doctor that says that, strip his all his credentials. So don't go to such a doctor. Tray for doctor. They have to be real, and they have to tell you, and be honest, but to say there's no hope? Evishter, we're lamalim in a teva. We're above it. I mean, you know why we're above it? Because our das is above it. That's what we see was promised and listened to a chazer of an old Torah that some of the chaver here knows. The emes is this Torah is not it's a Beferish Rashi, this Torah. I saw it originally from Rav Shor and others bring it out, but ultimately Pinchas has this already, but it's really just a Rashi. Avram Avinu in Parshas Lech Lecha, the first Jew at the beginning, the one who's told about Golus Mitzrayim and Gulus Mitzrayim and everything else. He's taken outside, and he said to count the stars. Ko yezarecha. So too, watch, you're going to love this new hisafet to this Torah. Ko yezarecha. So too will be your children. And everybody asks very pashit. There are like billions of stars. What are we? What, there are 12, 13 million Jews in the world? What do you mean ko yezarecha? What do you mean ko yezarecha? So will be your children. We've never been that numerous. So if you look in Rashi, Rashi says that it said the pasuk says Habed na Hashemayim, stare down at heaven. But Yotzeus Ochutz, he took him outside into Medrash that Hashem took Avram out of the universe. He Yotzeus Ochutz, meaning he took him out of the universe, and he said, look down at the stars. Ko yezarcha, meaning what? It's the way Rav Shor and others explain. Just like right now, you're above the world. You're lemalim in ateva. You're das elyon. You're not das of the world. You're above it all. So too will be your children. They live lemalim in ateva dika life. Ko yezarcha. B'ni b'chayr Yisrael will be b'char. What's the pasuk say? Mamish incredible. V'amartal paro. Ko amar Hashem. B'ni b'chayr Yisrael. Ko yezarecha. Ko amar Hashem. That's what it means, b'ni b'chayr Yisrael. Ko, what is it? Why is it saying, b'amar tel paro, ko amar Hashem. B'amar tel paro, amar Hashem, b'ni b'chayr Yisrael. Maybe it's b'ramis. Ko yezarecha. B'ni b'chayr Yisrael, meaning we're not the b'char of Mitzrayim. Makas b'chayr. We get rid of that das. We're l'malim in a tevetik das. I'm above this world. I live above this world. You know what it means to live above this world? What it means to live above this world? It means I'm not bound by this world and I can get through anything. And challenges come my way. And I'm not afraid. I can get through anything. That's what we see as well. Where's the pasuk? It's Arba. One second. The pasuk says, "Vayishlech." We're getting there. Od negeachod. Right. Also, by Makas Pechiras, Koyam Hashem, Kachatzos Halayla. Kachatzos Halayla, right? It'll be like midnight. So what does Rashi say, Kachatzos Halayla? Because what? We're afraid. Shemayitu at the Gnine Paro, the astrologer of Paro will say, oh, we're off. It wasn't Chatzos. Because they're really off. So like Chatzos, right? Kachatzos. Because we're afraid of their astrologers based on their science and their nature. That's their das. They're figuring it all out. Rashi over here, by the way, another pshat in Rashi and Bereishis by Avram Avinu. When he says, Vayotzi es achusa, listen to the lashon Rashi says. Mamaji, the Torah is so beautiful. Amar lo, tseimat tginanas sholcha. Leave your world of nature. Leave your world of astrology and astronomy. Leave that all. You're above it. You're Das Elyon. We're afraid the Mitzrim were bound by that. They're bound by Teva. They're bound by their mindset, by the natural way of the world. We're above it all. We're above it all, and we have to be above it all. Who are the ones that represent those who are most connected to Hashem? The Kohanim. The Kohanim, we should all be Mamlechas Kohanim. The Rambam says we could all be. We should all be. Kohanim are the ones that are closest in this way, that are living Lamalim and Atev in such a way. So what are they? What does the Pasuk say when they give us Berachas Kohanim? Ko Sivarchu es B'nei Yisrael. Ko, again, Ko Yazarecha. Ko Amar B'nei B'chor Yisrael. Because all the same illusion. All the same illusion. And we're giving Shir tonight. L'nishmas. Avram Shalom ben Yisrael HaKayin. Let me tell you something about the tzaddik. The tzaddik was a Kayin, first of all. And by the way, we know that really, the Bechorim were supposed to be the Kohuna. And because of Chet Egel, was given to the Kohanim. So as a Kayin, he had, every Kayin in a certain sense, embodies a Bechor. And this idea of this Das Elyon, this Lamalim and Ateva, this above, this supernatural way of living, because I'm one with Hashem. He happened to also, not that he was a Bechor, he was a second child, but he's somebody who, he lost his entire family in the Holocaust. He lives through his parents, another sibling was murdered in Auschwitz. Maybe two, I don't remember exactly. He lost everybody. 6 months after the war was over, some time period after, he realized he had one sister that was still alive. He went and he was in Eretz Yisrael. He got her from Sweden and he took care of her. He raised her. He got her married. He did everything for her. He became like the Bechor also in the way that he lived his life. But again, he was a Kohen. The Kohen takes the place of the Bechor. And what we're saying tonight, the Bechor represents L'malam and Atev V'Tegiyid. I'm above nature because I'm one with Hashem. I have a different type of way of thinking. I think with the Ribbono Shel Olam. I'm out of this world. I'm not bound by this world. And that's the way he lived his life. This was a Yid, who again, first of all, any Yid who survived the Holocaust was Nisim Gluyim. He was in labor camps and he was Nisim Gluyim. But what did he do when it was over? First, he tried to make it work still in Europe and Hungary, but he realized it's not happening there. It's not a place for Yidin anymore. So where'd he go? To Eretz Yisrael. And he went to Eretz Yisrael all alone. Imagine this Yid all alone. And he said, you know what I want to do? I want to fight for Eretz Yisrael. I'm not, even though his whole life has been, his physical life, his family has been destroyed. You think just Lamaisa, crawl up into a corner somewhere, have a very simple life. He says, no, I'm going to fight for Yiddishkeit. I'm going to fight for Eretz Yisrael. And he goes and he fights to get into the Haganah. And it was all secrecy and crazy. And he somehow got his way in. And he served in the War of Independence to fight for Eretz Yisrael. He was always looking forward. Because he was living that life that we're talking about today. He was that life of a Bechor, of B'nei Bechor Yisrael. I'm above it. Naturally, my life should be over. Forget it. Throw in the towel. Forget Yiddishkeit. Forget Eretz Yisrael. Forget it all. Look, my whole life's been destroyed physically. No, B'nei Bechor Yisrael. And that's how he rebuilt. And that's how he rebuilt the family of Shomrei Torah Mitzvot. It's a beautiful family. Because he understood this. And we have to understand what we have within us when we have that das, and we connect to that das. Life is so sweet. Life is so beautiful. That's the whole tafkid of this world. It came to me earlier today, a big matana. If you take the gematria of das lamala min atev, it's a das, a certain das that we have to have, which is lamala min atev tika das. I'm a supernatural way of thinking. I'm thinking with Hashem, not thinking like the das of Makas Pachoris. Das lamala min atev is gematria 825. Exactly gematria tafkid chayim olam hazeh. The purpose of life in this world. It's matana from Hashem. Tafkid chayim olam hazeh is to have das of lamala min atev. Happened to be, by the way, that's why the first mitzvah that was given to us after Yetzias Mitzrayim was Kiddush HaChodesh. Kiddush HaChodesh was before, we'll get to Kiddush HaChodesh, was Kiddush HaBachor. Was Pidyon HaBen, was Kiddush HaBachor. Parshas Bo, right after, that was the first mitzvah of Yetzias Mitzrayim, was to be Mekadesh the Bachor. Because we got to be Mekadesh this Bachor, which represents Reishis Das. So Das L'malam HaNatev is Tafkid Chayim Ol Mazeh. And that's what we have to spend our time thinking about and living. Happens to be the same gematria also chashivas bazman, to have the proper chashivas with our time, because that's what we have to be doing with our time. So therefore, the first mitzvah given to Klal Yisrael, we're still in Mitzrayim, which is this week's Parsha Perek Yibbeis, is Rosh Chodesh, which is chashivas bazman. The first mitzvah given after Yitzchak Mitzrayim was Kiddush HaBachor. Because what do we do with our time? We use it to connect Hashem through Torah and live a life of L'malam HaNatev. So Chashivas Bazman is Gematria 825. Das L'malam HaNatev is Gematria 825, which is exactly Gematria Tafkid Chayim Ol Mazeh. Torah Hashem Tamim HaMashivas Nafesh. However, we have to live this type of life. Because contrary to what's going on in the world we live, the world we live is a world that's completely stuck in the world of Teva, stuck in the world of science, stuck in the world of everything is logical, and you know what's logical? My logic, not your logic. That's why it is. It's such machlokas in this world. Do you see it? You see the machlokas? We're living in a time of machlokas like no other generation. Machlokas in politics trickles down to every type of machlokas there is. It's so sad to me, it's destructive to me. The community we live in is so full of machlokas like never before. Because we're going to have machlokas about COVID and every little detail, because everyone thinks they know what's right. So what I say is right has to be emes shba mito, and therefore you're completely sheker. It doesn't matter that you also have doctors that back you and you also make sense. No, because I think differently, so you're sheker. And then that trickled, that COVID machlokas that goes on in the community trickled down to this whole, to a terrible machlokas in the world of kashrus, which was mamish bizayon, should be the machlokas that was going on and the way that it was happening and everything that going on. Machlokas is never good, terrible. But it's again, I know what's right and you're for sure wrong. Because why? Because I know what's right. And then you have machloikis because of a newspaper in the community, and we have to have more machloikis in the community, because maybe someone made a mistake. I'm not even going to get into it to talk details. But there has to be more machloikis, because I know it's right, and you're wrong. Machloikis after machloikis after machloikis. Sickening! We're sick of it. Let's get along. Let's learn how to talk and have people have respect for each other, mutual respect for different opinions. Why? But where is that root of machloikis? Root of machloikis is sadly, it's Das Mitzri. If there's a Das Elyon, there's an Eibishter, and I'm bottled to the Rabbani Shalom's Das. Completely. I'm bottled to the Rabbani Shalom's Das. And we're Lamalam in a Tevetikirin. And even the Rabbani Shalom's Das, the way we understand that, is Eilu Ve'ilu Dibirgam Chayim. And we understand, and that's part of that Das. There's Shift Dekah, there's 12 different ways, and the different Ashkafas, and the different. In Halacha, there's Eilu Ve'ilu Dibirgam Chayim. Look, we have here Ariel, Eitan Yitzchak, David, you guys have different halacha than we have. You have different halacha than we have. You're Sfaradim. You have different halacha than we have. You're going to sit at your table on Pesach and enjoy your sushi and your rice and the chves nezels, and then we wouldn't be caught dead with that on our tables. But we love each other, and it's beautiful because we understand. We need shalom. We need simcha. We need das elyon, das lamalam in a teva. And we need to believe then that when we have that, we could conquer and do things lamalam in a teva. We could do things that are supernatural. We could do things that are supernatural. Like Mr. Englander was able to do. And here also we have another yisod from the Tziva Shalom. Cover of the most famous questions of all of these parshios. Of the most famous questions of all these parshios is what's going on with the hardening of Paro's heart. All the Mefarshim talk about it. And I'm sure you've seen the Rambam and Rashi. And if you haven't, you should see the Sfarno. Beautiful yisod. I'm not going to get into it now. Yeah, it's a little bit late. Why would Hashem harden the heart of Paro? To rip him of Bechira Chavshus of free will? Isn't the whole existence, the whole purpose of humanity is free will? What are we? Without free will, we're robotic, we're mechanical, we're nothing. We're controlled by God. What would be the purpose of life? And more than that, why would there ever be Schar Vonesh? If I'm not determining through my own free will what I'm doing, why do I deserve any reward or punishment? I haven't done anything. So why would God, during the last 5 months, harden the heart of Paro and not allow him to let us go? It's a famous, famous question. You've all heard it. You've all grappled with this. We've all seen ideas. If you haven't, then you better start learning. But I'll tell you an idea that maybe some of you haven't seen. In the Hilgen Siva Shalom, the Slonim Rebbe, I think it's his first piece on Parshas Bo. You should read through it as well. He says such a beautiful yisod, a different idea of what it mean. Why would Hashem harden the heart of Paro? How could he take away the free will of an individual? Says in life, we have our natural abilities, and then we have so much more above that that's dormant within us, which we hardly tap into. He says, well, for example, in the physical realm, a person might be a certain speed. If you race someone, you're gonna be a certain speed. But if a dog was chasing you, you'll find you're double as fast. You didn't even know you had it in you. There are documented cases of normal human beings that were hardly that strong, that suddenly if someone, lo aleinu, was stuck underneath a car, was able to lift up the car. Mamish, because that strength is within us, it's just dormant and we're not tapping into it, right? There's many studies about our brain and that we utilize like 10% of our brain power. That means we have so much more there, but we have to put in effort, we have to put in toil, we have to put in amelus. And so to beruchnius. There's so much we could be accomplishing. There's so much we could be doing. We just don't push ourselves enough. We think we're doing it. But that's our natural ability. This supernatural ability within us. He says, you know what it means that Paro's heart was hardened? It doesn't mean that Hashem took away that it was impossible for him to let us go, because that would be removing complete Bechir Chafshus, which would make no sense. It meant he took away his natural ability. Based on all the rishas that he did, he didn't deserve. But if Paro, he could have dug down deeper and still let us go. He still had the ability to do, and he didn't do that. He wasn't willing to put in the effort and put in the mindset. You know what that teaches us? Again, everything here is to teach us zelu mazeh, to give chizik to us. That's to teach us what koichas we have within us. Because we have lemalim and ateva, supernatural abilities to think, to be one with Hashem, and then to live our lives. You know who doesn't? Amalek. Amalek is, again, that das mitzri. That's why, what does the pasuk say in Balak? Racious goyim Amalek. Racious. Racious das, the Bechor. Racious goyim Amalek in Parshat Balak. Racious goyim Amalek. Amalek is gematria 240, is rum, we're lofty. I know better. That's why Amalek was the one that went to the Mitzrim and said, run after the Jews, go get them. Don't even let us go to them. Run after the Jews, Parshat Bashalach, before we leave. That was Amalek, the Medrash says, told him to do, told Mitzrim, told power to go get us. Amalek, because Amalek says, no, come on, you could do this. Don't worry there were tamakos and there's clearly a God and clearly this is out of your reach. No, you have das, you can go do it. It's about rum, be haughty. It's all about you. Therefore, the Sfas Emes says, the Heilig Ger Rebbe, whose Yortzeit was this previous week, Zchusso Yagin Eleinu. How do we defeat Amalek? Such a beautiful Torah. How do we defeat Amalek? How do you defeat Amalek? What did Moshe Rabbeinu do to defeat Amalek? Next week's parasha. What did Moshe Rabbeinu do to defeat Amalek, Chevra? He lifted up his hands. That's all he did. Lift up his hands. He lifted up his hands. You defeat Amalek. You lift up your hands and you defeat Amalek. What's pshat? You lift up your hands and you defeat Amalek, Chevra. You lift up your hands. You defeat Amalek. What's pshat? So obviously, Chazal say famously was reminded the Yidden to look up to Hashem, right? That's what most people are thinking. Listen to what the Sfas Emes says. Zchuso Yagen Eleinu. You know what our hands are? Our hands are our actions. Our hands are what we do in this world. Our head is how we think and how we understand. Put your hands above your head, meaning don't make it all about what you understand. I understand, I'm finite. What do I understand? You know who knows better than I? The Rabbi Nishalom. Do, go above my own intellect. I mean, this Das Elyon, this Das of Lamalam and Tavah, this Das of the Rabbon Shalom, putting my hands over my head that I'm not giving, it's not about me and how I understand. I don't understand everything. What a beautiful Torah. What a beautiful Torah. Tzvas Emes, Tafresh Mem Zayin. What a beautiful Parsha Zachar, Tafresh Mem Zayin. Look it up. How do we live with this Yisod in our lives always? How do we live with this Bechar, Bini Bechar Yisrael? How do you live with this understanding that there's a different way of thinking than the culture and the world we live in, which is bound by this world, that I could be above nature, that I could get through anything, that I'm not held back, I'm never going to suffer again if I have this das. How could I have that always? So we said Torah from Rav Nosson. If we're going to sell Torah from Nosson, we can't say a little Torah from Rav Nachman. Rav Nachman says something in the beginning of the Sefer, in the second piece. Now, I'm not going to claim I fully grasp this line by Rav Nachman. I'll explain it in the way that I understand. But he says as well that the Bechor is Das. That's what Rav Nosson says. And that's the Das we need, the proper Das. So Nachman says the Bechor is also Bechinas Avodas HaTefillah. The Bechor represents Tefillah. Meaning, so Makas Bechor is the final Makas, is to defeat the Das of the Mitzrim, as we've explained. And I want the proper Das through that. But the way that I'm going to get that in a concrete way, the Eitzatas, is through Tefillah, it seems Rav Nachman is telling us. Now he does explain a little bit. Basically, we know that Tefillah, there's two main parts of tefillah, shevach v'odat Hashem, praising and thanking Hashem, and bakashos. So that's keneged al pishnayim that the bechor gets. Okay, that's very deep. I wanted to say as well, that's how we start our day, and that's what everything is based upon, so that's the bechor, that's the beginning. The beginning of everything in this world is tefillah. Nothing could happen in this world without tefillah. We saw that by Sheshesh Mebereshis, that the vegetation wouldn't even grow, even though it was created in fury, in potential, not intelligent. But tefillah is the beginning of it all. But Rav says, Bechor is tefillah. But in our life, what that means is, if I want to connect to the Bechor, which we're explaining tonight, the fear of Nosson, that the Bechor is that recognition of Das Elyon, the Das of Lamalam and Atav, of supernatural Das. I could get that through my davening. You know, it's sad to me. Sometimes when it comes to guys who are serious in Avodah Hashem and serious in learning, sometimes tefillah, sometimes, Baruch Hashem, the guys in this room understand not like this, but tefillah takes like a passenger seat, you know? And like, there are guys who are so excited to get through davening so they could get to Seder. It's beautiful that they're excited to learn. But there's a time for learning, there's a time for davening. And the davening is a time when I'm mamish talking to Hashem, where I'm recognizing Hashem's place in my life. I'm thanking Hashem for all that I, by heaven's world, I was with someone earlier today, I was with someone and we were talking and we were talking about tefillah a little bit. And Baruch Hashem is someone who has such incredible things going on in his life. His life is so beautiful and wonderful. Hashem has given him so much bracha. And it's been hard. His davening has been a little bit hard. And I said, it's true, it's natural, because when you don't have that, which it's much easier to daven when, God forbid, we have a tragedy and we have sadness and we need a daven for something. But a big part of our davening is modem. Maybe the most important part of our davening is modem, to thank Hashem. That's the first word we say every morning when we wake up. So when I don't have what to ask for, so double up on my modem. Even more so, I have more to daven with kavana. We've sat over at the table by the Chavetz Chaim. There was a Chavetz Chaim, so a chassid was once watching the Chavetz Chaim davening. He was davening and davening and davening. And he davened Shemoneh Esrei, it's a long Shemoneh Esrei, so he went over to Master's Rebbe Murray. and he thought he had all these deep kavanas. It's Yartzeit the Rishash, right? It's kavanas of the Rishash, and like big kavanas. Rebbe, can you teach me these kavanas? He says, I don't know these kavanas. My kavanas are pirush hamilim, and my davening doesn't really take so long. But then I get up to modim, and I have so much to be thankful for, and I just can't stop thanking Hashem. So I have a very long Shemon Esrei. The more I daven, the more I'm going to connect to Hashem and feel His presence in my life, and I'm going to mamish live a life of that das that we're talking about, that intellect which is subservient to the intellect of God. And I live my life with that understanding. And that's again, maybe, b'derech drush, smichas gula l'tfilah. What was the gula? The finality of the gula in the term was makas b'choros, to build das. All the svarim talk about that. Das was in Galus, right? We've seen Torahs be like this. To build my das. So smichas gula l'tfilah is what? Remind myself, the ikar is that I have the proper das. I have the das of the Eibishter, the das of Torah, the das of Lamalim and Tev, like we've discussed tonight. I'm completely mevatel to Hashem, and life is good. You know, I shared this at this table once before, but I was thinking about it a few days ago, just to bring home the message on a personal note. Mm-hmm. I was just discussing this yesterday I sat down of a close friend in the community, a wonderful person, a very special therapist. He deals with a lot of incredible, he uplifts a lot of incredible people, Menachem Pisnansky. And he has a podcast that he does, and he invited me, I don't know why he invited me, but he invited me to do one with him and to interview and have questions. I'll send it out when it comes out. It was a lot of fun. It was very special because it caused me to think a lot about my own life, actually, and good. It was good chizik for myself just to talk about a lot of the things that he was asking questions. One of the questions he asked, I don't remember the exact wordage of it, but it was something to the degree of an episode in your life that gave you a lot of hope and gave you reason to stay positive. I don't know, whatever it might have been. So I spoke about a few things. I didn't leave it to one, but one of the things I spoke about, and I said this, some of you heard this from me before, but it's another chizikah, and I'm thankful every day, so I think about this mamash every day. You have to be thankful every little thing, how a little over a year ago I suffered with my voice, and I had a polyps on my vocal cords, and was not able to speak well. I don't know how many of the chaver was here that Thursday night, when I really realized it. It was Thursday night, I'm going to say September 12th, So I know the first time I really felt it going was I spoke September 11th at Stern College. I remember that shiur was very hard. I had to like fight to give it in my voice, even with a microphone. And then the next night we had Thursday night shiur, and I remember it was some of the chaver were here, I'm sure, and like I literally at one point couldn't get words out. We started singing in the middle. We literally, well, you weren't here, Liz, Baruch Hashem, you were in our thrill, but I had to stop. I couldn't get words out. And I realized there was something seriously wrong. It wasn't just a hoarse throat. And again, I had a polyps on my vocal cord, and I needed to have a laser procedure. And Baruch Hashem had incredible doctors. And I remember the day, so I had this doctor, Dr. Ivy. She was really, really, very, very, very special. And we had to go in for a few pre-ops, and if not, it's just like the pre-op itself is intense. They literally stick a camera down your throat, through your nose, and to see what the issues are. Right? I'm sure most of you haven't ever had that before. You can imagine it's not that pleasant. But Baruch Hashem, she was great. And she told me that the procedure itself won't be that much more intense than that pre-op. And she said, you don't even have to, you come in by yourself, you'll be able to drive home afterwards. Again, it was a lot of rehabilitation after. For a few days, for one day, I wasn't allowed to speak at all. I remember she had to daven through Shomea Kaona, through listening. It was a crazy experience that first day. And then I was supposed to speak very little for a few days. I think that, I don't remember if that first Thursday night we've been at cheer, that first Thursday night, we were talking about it all the day, I don't remember. I think we might have had to cancel one Thursday night cheer because of it. Maybe, I don't remember. Anyway, the Maisa, that was, the procedure was done in November. I didn't fully have my voice back till Pesach. Pesach was the first time I felt I could sing. I remember at the Seder, it was the first time, it was Nisim, it was awesome. It was a lot of voice therapy. The procedure itself, so I'm sitting there, and like, they start anesthesia, numbing in my nose and numbing in my throat. And what they're going to do is put a camera again down my throat through my nose, but also put a laser down. Both. And the laser burns off this polyp.
It's like a...
So I'm sitting there. And they numb you for a sting. Okay, so it won't feel as like getting a cavity filled. You know, it'll be... That's what I'm thinking it's going to be. And I start... I'm there. And the doctor's there. And a few other assistants are there. And I'm like strapped to the seat because, you can't move it all. This mamish like a laser. It's like... And I start feeling of the most intense pain of my life. It was mamish like killing me. And not just killing me. Then I start smelling smoke in the room because it's burning. It's mamish. The laser's burning you. And I started like this intense pain, and I was suffering, and I started getting very anxious. I'm not an anxious person in general about anything, but it was like because I was very stuck and I didn't know what to do. And I felt tears coming down my cheeks. I remember I just was crying of the moment, the pain, the anxiety, the everything about it. And the whole thing was going to be 10 minutes, but this was probably like 4 or 5 minutes in, and I'm like, oh my god, how am I going to actually do this? I thought I wanted to like burst out, you know. And then I thought, what could I do? And not with my mouth, because I wasn't able to use my mouth at this point, but b'machshava, I started davening. B'machshava, I started davening. And I'm telling you, Chevra, the moment I started davening and had that thought to daven and start talking to Hashem to help me and to be with me, I was fine. The moment I just had a sense of calm come over me and everything was all good and everything was fine and life was great. And now, physically the pain was completely still there. And you still smelled the smoke. But all the anxiety and all the pressure and all the... was all lifted the moment it started davening. Just knowing, you know what? I could daven. I have Hashem by my side. This is all going to be good. And what's incredible, Beteva, the pain was still there. Beteva, the smell was there. Beteva, it doesn't make sense that I didn't... No, but that's Das of Lamalim and Ateva. That's this understanding and this connection to Hashem. It's not about what's going on. I'm above it all. You know how we could get that through tefillah. I got it through tefillah. And it's an incredible thing that teaches us. I mean, das is also that reminder that, you know, with regular das, so you're stuck in a situation, there's only so much you could do. So if you're sick and you're going to doctors and doctors have no other answer, it's over. There's nothing else to do. It's over. You're suffering financially and you've tried every little thing you could do in this business deal and it's falling apart. Nothing. But as Yidden, there's a higher das, and that's tefillah. And when you have tefillah, there's always something to do. You're never in misyayish, you're never in despair, because there's always something to do. I'm in a bigger das, I'm lamala min ateva. I'm above it all. B'ni b'char Yisrael. That's geula. That's geula. So chevra, we're going to have makas b'charis this week. Let's make sure we get rid of any das that's teva dika das. Any das that's in that realm. And be above it all and be supernatural like the way the Rabban Shem wants us. Ko Yezarecha is about us, to Avram Avinu. About each and every one of Ko Yezarecha, Ko Am Hashem B'ni B'chay Yisrael. It's all one. Let's live that life. And then we'll be Zoyche to Gula. We'll be Zoyche Halavai through that to the Gula Shlema. But we'll have Gula in our life already, because I could get through anything with Hashem by my side. We'll have Simcha and Bracha until we're Zoyche to the ultimate Gula with Gula Shlema B'mheir. All in all.